It was a tough veto session this fall for Governor Bruce Rauner. 15 of his 39 vetoes were overridden by lawmakers. Prior to this year, Rauner had been overridden just once. One of those bills was the so-called debt transparency bill, which was being pushed hard by Democratic controller Susana Mendoza. It would require greater disclosure of state finances. State Representative Dan Brady voted against the bill originally when it passed, but in late October, the Bloomington Republican was part of a unanimous vote to override Governor Rauner's veto on the bill. During this veto session recap, Brady talks to GLT's Ryan Denham about why there were so many veto overrides this time around.
What I experienced more so than ever before in a veto session was individual elected officials personally lobbying legislators, whether it be the comptroller, whether it be our attorney general, and asking them to take a second look at some of the pieces of legislation that had been either outright vetoed by Governor Rauner or mandatorily vetoed. And so that was something that was different. And then I guess a big takeaway that was in the second part of veto session was the sexual harassment side of things that came out and caused a flurry of activity and actually legislation that became part of a course, a seminar that we ended up taking before he left Springfield. So from that standpoint, that was something that moved very quickly. From the veto session standpoint, it was one that I think there was more involvement from those elected officials in particular that had legislation that had been vetoed by the governor and were of different parties.
Well, let's stick with the Debt Transparency Act just to catch our listeners up. This is something that was supported by Democratic Comptroller Susana Mendoza. It would require state agencies to basically report the monthly amount of bills that are being held, liabilities that are being appropriated, liabilities that may have late interest penalties on them. State agencies currently do this once a year in October. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you actually opposed that bill originally, but then took a second look at it. Were part of that unanimous vote to override?
It was.
Why was that?
Well, I think that it always makes a difference when you review things and some of the things that may have changed at the time from when that legislation first was vetoed and the aspect that the governor did. And then hearing, you know, the other side of the story, very seldom do you get the other side of the story from the standpoint of an individual. As in this case, Comptroller Mendoza, and the importance to the legislation. Now, I hope that's truly the case, but to have more transparency and have it explained in a different way in addressing some of the specific parts of what the governor's veto message was, that helps for you to at least, you know, step back and pause and look at things. And this was one of those cases. And so I think that from that standpoint, you know, and unless you have the opportunity to hear from the other people involved and the other people that are specific and may have specifics that you don't have in a message, I think that was important.
So that was one of 15 vetoes of Governor Rauner's that was overridden during the veto session. So why do you think that was? So why did we see so many? Because previous to this year, Rauner had just been overridden, I think, once.
Right.
So I think what do you change? You mentioned you know, lobbying by individual office holders like Comptroller Mendoza and others. Was that it, or were there other factors at play here, do you think?
Well, I think that's a big part of it. I can't remember a veto session where a elected official that had legislation that had been vetoed, as our attorney general, as the comptroller, did personally contacting and reaching out and trying to explain what differed in the veto message and what they saw differently about the legislation. And quite frankly, both of those particular pieces of legislation, I had very little constituent input. In other words, I did not hear from any large sector of my constituency, but yet I heard from those who sponsored the legislation or helped to write the legislation and the need for that legislation. And in the particular case of the students' bills of right, if you will.
And this is the other bill that you
yes.
supported a veto override on, right?
That's correct. In particular, what I think changed from the time that the governor's message had come out on that particular bill was that, as he cited in his message, the federal oversight, the federal government responsibility in this particular loan sector. But after listening to Attorney General Madigan and some others that helped with the legislation, and the bill sponsor did a fine job to show that from the time that veto message has changed, what has changed in the federal government towards student loans, and that there may in fact be less regulation. And what struck me also was the emphasis that was put on in the student loan sector of things, the lack of really education, what students know they're getting themselves into as far as this loan goes, and the focus that they're being driven into. There's a lot of different categories, and they're driven into more of a category where what they're paying is dealing with just the interest. And it's not going after the principal. And so looking at that, listening to some other input, caused me to think differently about it.
That's State Representative Dan Brady, a Republican from Bloomington, talking with GLT's Ryan Denham about the recent veto session and his own reelection bid in 2018. You can find more election coverage on our website, WGLT.org, in the news section under Election 2018.